The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. We have open phones continuing here on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. You know, I may have been wrong about Lucretia. About Lucretia's statement about aluminum in fuel. And Lucretia, I'm going to issue an apology to you. I am going to apologize because I was, as Linda would say, I was wrong. There are aluminum nanoparticles being looked at in aviation fuel, but not just raw aluminum being put. And that's kind of where I was getting at here, all right? Because if you ended up putting something actually gritty, you'd be tearing up your engine, okay? And this is coming from Kevin Watson. Bill, this isn't to say Lucretia is completely right. However, they do use aluminum nanoparticles in fuel. The design of nanofuels provides the opportunity to adjust the properties of the fluid with minimum/no requirements to alter the mechanical components of the fluidic system, such as piping and pumps. Consequently, a renewed focus on nanometer-sized fuel additives has led to several investigations to understand their influence on combustion and emission performance. Metal nanoparticles such as iron, boron, nickel, aluminum, and aluminum oxide dispersed in liquid fuels called nanofuels have been investigated. Among those materials, aluminum is widely used because of its cost-benefit, combustion, enthalpy, trade-off. In other words, yeah, hotter burning, I guess, is what Kevin was getting at. This is the where I'm going to disagree with Lucretia or anybody else. Okay, let's say that there are nanoparticles in jet fuel. That does not mean that all of a sudden our forests have been turned into sparklers, the equivalent of sparklers due to nano aluminum in jet fuel, because at that point it's already been burnt once it's coming out of the jet engine. Am I wrong about that? I mean, where can I be wrong about that? Maybe not. But I'm not a scientist, just someone reading the science, I suppose. Anyway, we'll check Town Hall News here in just a moment. More of your calls. And I'm against the penny removal. Are you for the penny being taken out of circulation, no longer minted? Trump administration's been making a big deal about that. Lars is in favor of it. I'm not. I'm in favor of cash remaining as it is. I'll take your calls on that and anything else on your mind as Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday continues.
14th annual Wipeout.
Next Wednesday afternoon, we do see increasing rain chances through the later half of this week.
Quarter after eight. Happy to take your calls on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. One of the things I wanted to ask about, though, the battle against the penny. Trump administration saying that each penny costs 3.7 cents to make, and it's gone up 20%, which, of course, is indicative of what's been going on with inflation and the value of the dollar, really. Ultimately, I think, is what's that saying. And do you want it to go away? Now, I had some wrong math when I emailed Lars about this because Lars is in favor of doing this. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of this. I'm looking at this as something which will make it that much more difficult to use cash. And the real war between the people and the money has been the desire to push you into everything being trackable on the purchase side. And even if the cost to mint a few billion pennies is anywhere from $85 to $140 million a year, I look at the penny as the ability to be able to have precise cash prices for something. That would go away if pennies end up going away. Now, it costs more than it's actually worth to mint, but I would also add that penny costs anywhere from, or actually lasts anywhere from 25 to 40 years or more. There are still very old pennies in circulation. So that's my take on it. Anything which will reduce the kind of cash we have available to us, in my opinion, is about ultimately shepherding us into a situation where the elimination of cash, which is what every other country is trying to do, eliminate cash and make sure that everything you do is trackable, taggable, and most important of all, taxable. That's what I think this is about ultimately. And I don't want President Trump to go down that road. It's small ball money in the grand scheme of things. Even if it's $100 million a year, that's a rounding error in the federal government, okay? When we're talking about trillions upon trillions of dollars and $2 trillion of it being borrowed. Small ball money. That's what I think. I'm happy to take your calls on that or anything else on your mind, too. 770-5633. Speaking of the real money, gold has powered through. Yeah, it's solidly ensconced now, 2906. It peaked yesterday, all-time high in nominal terms at 2941. I'm looking at that pullback a little bit here today. Yikes. Central banks are buying money, buying gold hand over fist right now, and I think this has to do with concerns about instability and also wanting real assets, something that doesn't have a call by anybody else on it. And you can do this too. Retail gold people have not gotten into the rally yet for some reason. I wonder why. But you can. Talk to Jay Austin & Company, gold and silver buyers in Ashland, 1632 Ashland Street, and 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. They are your friends in these markets here right now. And just good, fair pricing. You get a fair premium over the price, spot price of gold, etc. And everybody wins. And tuck some away just in case. JayAustinBrokers.com. GrantsPassCoins.com, and you can also find out more on FortuneReserve.com. But I think better yet, just go talk with Mark and Andrea today, because are you going to wait until gold's $3,000 to buy, or $3,100, $3,200, $3,300, $3,400? Yeah, I think it's kind of baked in the cake right now. Just my opinion, but FortuneReserve.com. All right, let me go to Brian Weldon. Brian, you wanted to weigh in on something this morning on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Fire away.
Yes, I have a boulder in my shoe.
Okay.
All of us at Park Watch have been working for over a year now cleaning up our parks. We spend every week cleaning up needles, trash, you name it, feces, all in our parks. Last Sunday, we found a man with a bottle of urine in the upper gazebo at Riverside Park. Now we have a judge that has allowed them for the next 14 days to go back to our park. In Riverside West yesterday, there's 18 tents. We had these parks all cleared out. Now, people say, Brian, your new leadership in town closed J Street and 7th Street. Where are they to go? My solution, get clean and sober and go to the gospel mission. Go to the other shelters. Get a job. But do not get used to going back to our parks, because this spring we're going to have the same thing we had years ago with hundreds of tents and trash in all of our parks. We want our parks for our children, period.
You know, we're getting closer to the point where maybe it's just time to sell off the park departments. I mean, I'm dead serious, though, Brian. I mean, there was talk about just you sell the parks to a nonprofit that runs them privately.
Yes, that's a great idea right there.
All right. Appreciate the call. Just take it out of public land. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome. Hello?
Bill?
Yeah, Brad.
Oh, no. Yeah, didn't get the scratchy sound.
That's okay. No, don't carry on with that. Just get to your point. Go ahead.
Okay. Nobody younger than 60-year-old cares about the penny, right? You bend down and pick up a penny. I'll bend down and pick up a penny. Nobody younger than 60 cares about the penny.
Huh.
But here's the other deal.
Okay, what is the deal, though? I mean, that may be true at the moment, but do they realize what happens when cash is gone? Why they want cash gone? It's not about the expense. You know, they'll sit around there and bleed about the expense. It's about the control.
And I would agree with you, but now I'm going to drop down 20 years. Nobody younger than 40 years of age cares about what you just said. I agree with you. I have the same point of view that you do on that, but nobody under 40 cares about it.
So they have they don't care about FedGov wanting to tax, track, debank, whatever the case might be. And pay attention to absolutely everything you do, everything you you can't go next door to mow somebody's lawn because you would have to put it through the FedGov's cryptocurrency.
Huh? Bill, we have to talk about fighting with money. We have to talk about fighting with money.
Okay.
So during 2020, 21, Keith Brown closed down numerous businesses here in Southern Oregon. We probably lost a third of our restaurants.
Yeah.
Gymnasiums had to shut down. Churches had to shut down. All kinds of businesses. The retail side of business in the state of Oregon just absolutely got decimated. But there was a class of employee that got paid every single day all the way through that COVID nonsense. And those were all the state government employees. Everyone now. And why that matters is every one of those is a union member. So let's say that you're having a political war, and in a political war, what you fight with is money. You fight with money. What if you had the ability, what if you had the administrative ability to turn off the money gathering ability of your opponent? Well, they did. The left did, and they did. Every single union continued to receive dues because all of their members were still being paid. All of the unions, which are the piggy banks for the progressive left, all of them continued to receive 100% of the funding all the way through that deal, while the private side was absolutely decimated. So now here we are in the Trump administration, and this is the genius of this man.
Well, he's trying to break the back going the other way.
Yeah, when you got 2 million federal employees, you got to realize in the general American workforce, 12-13% is maybe unionized, but when it comes to government employees, it's like 95% plus are unionized.
This is ultimately a cut the unions off at the knee as far as their political donations then. Or at least to begin reducing that, right?
Yes.
Okay, now, the other thing I wanted to mention here briefly, because I'm just short on time, okay, Brad, that would be Governor Brown's and Governor Kotek, rather, executive order on the PLA, though, is an attempt to force that unionization of more of the trades, right? Isn't that what that really is all about?
That is correct. That's absolutely correct. It's all about increasing revenue to the unions, and then the unions funnel that revenue back to the progressive left. That's what it is.
All right. Thanks for the explanation. I appreciate that. 770-5633. If you're on hold, I'll get right to you. Kim Komando's digital update is coming up next and first, and then we will get more to your calls, okay?
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
We've heard it all.
I should have chained up when I had the chance.
Two people backing into the same parking spot.
Laptops, even routers. Go to expressvpn.com/Kim to get an extra 4 months free on a 1-year package. expressvpn.com/Kim. expressvpn.com/Kim.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Now Bill wants to hear from you. 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
Indeed, Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Penny talk, fire talk. Let me talk with... Let me go to Joel. Joel, have they done anything to help you folks out in the Iron Gate in the county yet? Can you still get in and out of that neighborhood, or is it still just a miserable mess? What's happening?
I've been stuck here for 12 days.
12 days? Wow.
12 days. Yeah. And the roads on the other side of the lake where Minor Dave is have been graveled, and there's over 100 tax plots that pay the county taxes every year on this side of the lake, and yet the county hasn't done zip in 20 or 30 years.
Yeah, what does the county say about that? Have you guys approached Siskiyou County?
They sidestep me when I'm down there at the assessor's office, you know, and they're really clever.
Now, aren't all those roads private going in and out of your...
Here's the deal. It's private, but they're slash private... But you don't own the road. The county does. I mean, because I've checked in with some attorneys, but, you know, it's a slippery eel there as far as the, you know.
Yeah, and once again, the people who live around the former dam area getting screwed from the sounds of it. Boy, that's got to really irritate you. Sorry to hear that, Joel. Let me go to next one we have is Steve. Steve's in Sunny Valley. Hey, Steve, what are you thinking?
Good morning. Well, on the penny thing,
yeah,
nickels cost about what, 13 cents to make?
Yeah, at latest, it cost 13 cents. So if we're looking at the cost of the coinage right now, both pennies and nickels should be going away. And if you're just looking at the cost of that, but all I would add, though, is look at their cost per year. in existence because, you know, penny will last about 25 to 30 years in circulation, less than some of the other coins because it gets used a lot, which is very interesting. And the same with the nickels. They get used a lot more than the other ones.
Are they used or are they lost and nobody looks for them? My original point was that in Switzerland, you can get a 5-franc coin the size of a dime.
Right.
So that your change on your countertop can actually buy something. And now in Italy, before the euro, you could get a 500 lira coin. And with 3 more of them, you could buy a cup of coffee.
Huh.
So 1,500 liras for a cup of coffee. What's happening is our money is shrinking in value to the point where it's worthless. Why keep it up? Unless we start printing or minting coins that are worth something, they're just going to get left on the street and under couch cushions.
Hmm. That's an interesting way of looking at it. I get concerned. My concern, though, and apparently I guess the younger generation doesn't care about this, the concept of being able to buy stuff without a government functionary knowing about it will rapidly go away the more that we make cash difficult to use. Would that be fair?
Oh, the harder they step, the bigger the black markets will be, and the more people will revert to the barter system.
Yeah, it could
be. I have chickens. I can get as whatever I want with eggs right now.
Mm-hmm. But just understand the war on cash has been eventually to drive it. And, you know, and you have Trump now, who is a big crypto guy because he's got the tech bros all around him. Ultimately, what they have talked about openly, not necessarily Trump, but FedGov for years, has been a central bank digital currency. So everything you spend is trackable, and most important of all, taxable. That's what they're trying to get rid of, the black market.
I think that free markets are natural, and people will always gravitate towards them. Even in China and Soviet Russia, free markets are what kept people from starving. And I think that the people will always find something they can trade in. If it's eggs, it's eggs. If it's 22LR, it's 22LR, but there will always be a free exchange between individuals.
Point well taken. Thank you for the call, Steve. 770-5633. That means we'll get to Bob. Hello, Bob in Medford. Good to have you on.
Hey, good morning, Bill. I guess instead of a penny for your thoughts, I'll have to ask you for a nickel for your thoughts.
Yeah, a nickel at least. And if we were to adjust for inflation, we would probably have a quarter dollar as the equivalent now. Okay. Hey, I wanted to ask you... I'm not a fan. They're talking about wanting to buy additional snowplows in the city of Medford. I don't think it's necessary. Do you?
No, I don't either. I mean, it's we get, you know, measurable snowfall like that maybe once every 5 years or so. So what are they going to do with them in between times?
And I understand that that people think that the roads should be perfect at all times, no matter what. But I know for something that happens every few years like this, gosh, that's an awful lot of money to spend, wouldn't you think?
I agree. Yeah. My question on the pennies is during World War II, they made pennies out of steel. So I wonder if that would be cost effective to revert to steel for making pennies.
Yeah, I don't know if the cost of steel is I think steel is less than copper, but you are right. They made them out of steel in World War II. And I would have to think that steel is less expensive than copper. Copper's always been. Now, even then, the pennies that we have are copper clad. Or copper.
Zinc.
Yeah, and then mostly zinc. Yeah. I don't know. That's an interesting thing. Okay. But then it comes down to, can the machines recognize it, right? You know, when the counting machines that are out there.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know if that's by size, by weight, or what that is.
Yeah, by the magnetizing ability of it or whatever.
Yeah. But, I have a confession to make on pennies. There was a arcade machine back in the 70s that took dimes, which was really cool. And I found out if I ground the edges off of a penny, it would take it in the arcade machine.
Well, I do think that the statute of limitations has left since that time. So your secret's safe with us, okay?
Thank you, Bill.
Okay. Let me grab one more call. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Yes, this is Robert out in Josephine County.
Hi, Robert.
I don't know if you can remember, but there used to be silver dollars. Mm-hmm. Used to have this like pennies, and there used to be silver 50-cent pieces like that. And do you see anything bigger than a $100 bill running around? See, they're just taking it little by little by little. Okay,
that's been a concern of mine. But apparently, if You know, if you've been growing up with a cell phone all your life and that's how you think that money is supposed to be transferred, then maybe I'm this maybe I'm just the idiot for wanting to hang on to something private. Maybe that's all. Well,
no, Bill, I believe in cash. It.
Cash it. All right. Will do. Thank you, Robert. Boy, a lot of interesting calls this morning, 836 at KMED. We'll catch up on some other things, and then maybe more of your calls. We'll have a Diner 62 quiz, not now, but before the end of the hour for sure, okay?
Do you have an electrical checklist at your house that needs to be completed? Call Completed Electric Plus. Need a dimmer switch installed? Completed. Fan installation? Completed. Breaker problem? Completed. New plug by your favorite chair? Completed.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
14th Annual Wipeout Hunger Drive is getting ready to wrap up over at Kelly's Automotive Service in Medford and Grants Pass. And wanted to bring in Lisa Kelly. Of course, Lisa has been just working her tail off on this for a while. Lisa, welcome back. Good to have you on.
Thank you.
All right. Now, I have a feeling that last week with a lot of snow, a lot of ice, a lot of things shut down, basically everything was shut down then except, well, I guess us, you know, we're all going to work, but
right. Nobody
else was.
Yeah, so last week it was dead as a doornail at both shops, and that really affected our food drive. So we're a little bit more behind than we expected
okay,
to be.
Okay, so we need to get back in front of this because this is the final week, okay? And by the way, we wanted to talk about the people you have matching donations up to $500. And which ones are those? Yeah.
So we have Lawton LeSueur from Midland Empire Insurance, Ellie George from... Ellie George Realtor, she's from HomeQuest Realty, Tom
sure.
Randall State Farm, Tyler Lake from Juggernaut Marketing, Dr. Emily Sanders from The Well, BBSI, Charlie from Rogue Tech Pros. Let's see, who else am I missing here?
I think you hit most of them.
Yeah,
pretty well.
I think so.
I think. But anyway, you have these wonderful local businesses that are helping out for you. And so I'll sit there and I know this is so stupid. I told you I had peanut butter and jelly. It's in the van again. It's sitting out back, and I just haven't taken it out of the van and brought it over to Kelly's yet.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do this, and I've got the jellies and all this other stuff. It's real simple, and this is a way to get good, high-quality protein out into folks who are having trouble making ends meet with their food budget.
Right? Yeah. So, you know, every year there's usually an increase. This year, there's even more of an increase because, of course, inflation.
Yeah.
And we're all seeing it. We're all feeling it.
Yeah, peanut butter's not cheap. I get that.
Well,
you know?
But eggs, look at the price of eggs. Look at the price of everything. And the whole reason this started was to feed mostly hungry children because it's shelf-stable protein. They can grab a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. They can make themselves. They can just grab a spoonful of peanut butter. They can use it with some celery and then get some protein before they go to school and have to learn.
That's
right. If they don't have good enough protein, then that brain's not going to work as well as it should.
All right. And so you've been doing this then on the, what you do is that when we bring these goodies to you, both in the Grants Pass and the Medford shop of Kelly's Automotive, you end up putting on a pair of windshield wipers on your vehicle. And those aren't cheap either these days, if you check the price of those, but worth up to $35, right?
Yes.
Okay. And do you just do that out of the goodness of your heart? I mean, that's got to be pricey.
It's pricey. But the whole reason we did it was because 14 years ago, I was at a meeting for the food banks, and our ration from the Oregon Food Bank was potato chips and bubble gum, and we were supposed to feed children with potato chips and bubble gum.
Yeah, you can't do it with junk food then, right?
We can't do it. And I talked to the executive director of the food bank, and we came up with peanut butter for kids.
All right. Well, I think it's done pretty well for a number of years. We have to make up for the weather delays of last week, though.
We do.
Okay. All right.
We do.
So, hours over at Kelly's in Grants Pass in Medford.
They're
so.
Both 8 to 5:30.
Okay.
And, you know, just no appointment needed. Just walk on in with your 40 ounces of peanut butter, 10 ounces of jelly, and we'll put those windshield wipers on your car.
All right. And like I said, I promised to do it. I know I told you I was going to do it the other week. I feel embarrassed about this because here I said I was going to come over and I haven't come over yet.
I just want to give an extra shout out to BBSI. They came into the Medford shop yesterday with over $500 of peanut butter and jelly, and they're also donating another $500 to Grants Pass.
Very good.
So
good for them.
So I was jumping for joy when they walked in.
All right. Yeah. And by the way, this week, the people that are matching at BBSI and Charlie from Rogue Tech Pros. So any donations that we bring in this week, and this is the final week of it,
I guess. It ends this Friday on Valentine's Day.
Okay. All right. So Valentine's Day is the wrap-up of it. So please get your peanut butter and jelly donations in there and help a lot of hungry folks here in Southern Oregon. And I tell you, it would have been rough if you were doing an egg drive, huh?
Really rough.
So peanut butter is better. That's another conversation.
Oh, and Sherm's Food for Less in Medford and Grocery Outlet in Grants Pass both have sales on peanut butter and jelly for us.
That is wonderful news. Thanks so much for that and letting us know about this. Wipe out hunger. This is the final week. Get her done. All right. It is 8:46. Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks.
Always good talking with you here on KMED and 99.3 KBXG. Let me head over to line one. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Good morning, Bill. It's Kristen from Sunny Valley.
Hi, Kristen. What's going on in your world, huh?
Well, I've got some exciting news here in Sunny Valley. We have Ron Smith, Commissioner Ron Smith of Josephine County, coming to our town for a fire map town hall and workshop for our community and surrounding area.
Mm-hmm.
This will be taking place this coming Thursday, February 13th at 7 p.m. Doors will open at 6:30, and it's taking place at the River Valley Sunny Valley Church, which is located at 400 Sunny Valley Loop in Sunny Valley, Oregon.
And what time on Thursday with Commissioner Ron Smith?
7 p.m. and doors will open at 6:30.
All right. Very good. I really appreciate you letting us know about that. Could you pop me an email, too, on that?
We appreciate you as well. I will definitely do that.
All right, Kristen. Thank you very much. 770-5633. You too. Have a great day. 770-5633. In just a moment, let us do the Diner 62 Real American Quiz. 770-5633. And Diner 62, of course, great place. And I have to tell you, the breakfast that I got from them the other day was just awesome. It was the massive, I don't know how they can afford to do it, but they had this scrambled egg omelet with ham in it. Loads of ham, loads of the onions and and everything else and the taties. And it was just wonderful what they do. It's real comfort food. And they have all sorts of other great things going on. The half ham special still on 6 to 9 a.m. in the morning, $11.15 is what that cost. And let's get you all set up and see if we can get you a $20 gift certificate. Have some fun and play that next on The Bill Meyer Show.
At Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company.
Black Fuchsia.
I'm done.
Hi, I'm Lisa with Kelly's Automotive Service, and I'm on KMED.
10 before 9, the Diner 62 Real American Quiz. By the way, ends Friday. Hot open face sandwiches. They have that pot roast sandwich served with mashed potatoes and brown gravy. Hot turkey sandwich, mashed potatoes, gravy, and cranberry sauce. Good. All right. One thing that will continue definitely is clam chowder on Friday. All right. Now then, let's see if we can get a winner for this $20 Diner 62 quiz. Let me go to line one. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
This is Chris in Medford.
Chris in Medford, how are you doing this morning? Feeling good or?
I'm homesick, but.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry you're home. Well, it's kind of going around. Huh? You got the crud or is it something? Hopefully it's nothing worse, okay, than just the crud.
No, it's just the crud.
Just the crud. All right. Well, it is February, right? Well, Chris, we're talking about something yesterday in history. It was February 10th of 1971. We had Vietnam War journalists, four journalists, including photographer Larry Burroughs of Life magazine, Kent Potter of UPI, Henry Hewitt of the Associated Press, and Kesa Burroughs Shimamoto, of Newsweek. They end up dying in a South Vietnamese helicopter operating in Laos. The journalists have been covering Operation Lam Son, a limited attack into Laos, when their helicopter crashed. So, I mean, that was sad, but the question is, how many American journalists overall were killed covering the Vietnam War and that whole conflict? Was it 3? Was it B, 6, C, 12, D, 16, or E, 20? Overall, how many journalists were killed in Nam? Which one are you picking?
Gosh, this is a hard question.
Yeah, 3, 6, 12, 16, or 20. What do you say?
I would say 16.
You would say 16. You know, you may be sick, but it's a good day for you.
You're a winner!
You got it. You just nailed it.
Full beans.
Good. Yeah, Chris is ready to cough, I think, is what is going on here. Yeah, Chris, Vietnam was one of the most reported conflicts in the history of warfare, and there were roughly 40 U.S. And foreign journalists in Saigon by the time it started. By August of 66, over 400 reporters in South Vietnam from 22 nations. 16 Americans lost their lives covering the war. American journalists among the 42 U.S. civilians still missing in action and unaccounted there. Now, according to, hang on just a minute here, Chris, we'll get you taken care of, all right? According to the Press Freedom Organization, Reporters Without Borders, 63 journalists were killed overall during the Vietnam War. A number was tallied over a 20-year period, ended in 75, and it's reported that 69 lost their lives in World War II. 8:53, a little bit of World War history, as it were, here on KMED and 99.3 KBXG. Join the conversation here. That will continue at 770-563-3.com. 8:55. We've got about 4 minutes left on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. If you wanted to weigh in, 770-5633-770-KMED. All right. I wanted to touch on a couple of stories kind of got lost in the shuffle here. First of them, Representative Alex Scarlatos. Remember him? The Paris train hero. He puts out a press release this morning, calls for an end to dangerous Democrat sanctuary policy, urging responsible Republican reform. Of course, I would say responsible Republican reform is just repealing the sanctuary state stuff. Anyway, Alex saying our communities should not be sanctuaries for murderers, rapists, and other violent criminals. Now, this may put Alex Scarlatos in the minority of a lot of what goes on here in the state legislature. But that's what I like about him, though. It's sad that he would be considered in the minority. He says this bill is common sense policy that protects Oregonians by holding the most violent criminals accountable by providing a partial fix to our state's sanctuary state law. I don't know if that means that he's waiting to try to get a hearing or not, but high bar. You understand that because nobody loves illegal immigration more, I think, than the Democrat supermajority at the moment. Now then, there's another story going on this morning. Oregon, now this is coming from Diane Linthicum, State Senator Diane Linthicum. And what she has here is that the Oregon Senate supermajority is certainly busy with the new legislative session, but legislators are now pushing a wild concept in Senate Bill 916. Senate Bill 916 would allow workers who engage in a strike, in other words, they go on strike, to collect unemployment benefits from Oregon taxpayers. So, as an example, you know, we take a look at like what's going on with the Providence nurses. Providence nurses, I guess, would be able to get unemployment insurance for arguing with their boss or anybody else arguing with their boss or having a difference of opinion. So, and so Diane continues, only the deep blue economically challenged states of New York and New Jersey engage in this kind of fantasy. So Oregon's employment insurance system designed to support workers who lose their jobs involuntarily. It was never meant to incentivize workers to strike. But the Democratic supermajority fails to realize that government policies are the main contributor to higher prices. So the public hearing on Senate Bill 916 continues today, February 11th. And what Diane Linthicum is doing is encouraging Oregonians to submit testimony and contact lawmakers to oppose this misguided proposal. The other thing I would say is that, well, as an example here, I don't think you have to worry about Noah Robinson opposing this. No doubt he will oppose this. Senator Jeff Golden, I don't know. That could be another kettle of fish. I couldn't say one way or the other. But it might not be a bad idea to drop a note to Jeff saying that this is really, really bad policy. We should never, ever be incentivizing striking. It's okay if you want to do something like that, but to have the taxpayers end up paying for your unemployment, that's not a good idea either, okay? Okay, a couple more emails of the day. Emails of the day sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson, Central Point Family Dentistry. Patrick says, hey, Bill, odd thought. If a coin is made out of plastic with an RFID chip inside it, the cost of any coin would be far less than a penny to produce. The surface could even use a hologram surface like Microsoft used for DVDs. That would completely eliminate the cost of coin production as an issue. Well, the RFID chip would be a cost there, too. You know, that's pretty interesting. Interesting way of looking at it. Do we want the RFID chips all throughout our chain? I don't know, but I appreciate you emailing, Patrick. That's an interesting, weird way of looking at it. Maybe we'll talk more about that on Wheels Up Wednesday, and we'll catch you then. Thanks again.